Hi, everybody, and welcome to another Tech Doctor podcast. Always so glad to be here with you on what for me is usually a nice warming up Sunday morning in California. With me, as always, is the one, the only Dr. Robert Carter. How are you doing, Robert?
Well, I'm in post-WWDC recovery mode. I think I'm about to come down from all that information, so I guess I would have to say I'm doing all right.
Yeah, same here. My head has finally stopped spinning from all that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Heck of a lot, yeah. We are so pleased and honored to have on our podcast this morning Judy Dixon from the National Library Service, among many other things. Judy, welcome to the Tech Doctor podcast. It's great to have you. Please take a moment and just tell us a little bit about yourself and what brings you here today.
Thanks very much, Allison, and I'm really happy to be here. I am the Consumer Relations Officer for the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. And I'm, like so many of us these days, an iPhone, iPad, iPod, iDevice enthusiast, and spend a lot of my time playing. No, it's not playing. We're doing real work. We're accomplishing things. Right. Playing with my iPhone. Well, in this case, actually, it probably is playing, because National Braille Press has published another book. This one's called Anyone Can Play: Accessible Games for the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. I am not the primary author of this one this time. My role in this book was as actually the editor. There's 7 chapters. I wrote 2 of them and the introduction, but I edited all of them and I worked with the authors. So I think this was a great approach for this particular book, because probably no one plays all different kinds of games. I mean, there's games in this book that personally I look at and say, I would not play that. But there's also games in this book that I absolutely love and have wasted huge amounts of time playing. So there's really something here for everybody.
I was so excited when I heard about this book, because I am an avid gamer and mostly on iOS now in terms of my gaming. And when I heard about this book, it was just really awesome, because I actually found something in almost all the categories that appealed to me. The only thing that I really don't do is email RPGs. But other than that, I pretty much found something in every category that I was like, oh, I play that. I play that. I've wasted hours on that.
Yes.
It's just kind of amazing that the iPhone and iOS devices have come so far in terms of allowing us to do the things that we want to do pretty much wherever we are. I can take my iPhone out waiting for the bus and do a couple of rounds on iAssociate 2, for example, or whatever I want to do. But in terms of gaming, it's really kind of revolutionized things, because it used to be, as blind folks, we would have to sit at a computer and either have a desktop or, if we were lucky, a laptop. But even that was not as convenient in terms of just gaming on the go. So for me, that's where accessible games on the iPhone have been most revolutionary.
One thing that I think about a lot is, and I think those of us who have been blind most or all of our lives, and especially those of us who were blind as kids, probably remember that in the time, at least the time that I was blind as a kid, there were times when I was just excruciatingly bored. There was nothing to do. And, you know, when you had to wait, sometimes you just had to wait. And you had to, you know, you could kind of think about things in your head or make up stories or whatever you could manage to muster up. But there was nothing to do. And one of the things that strikes me about the iPhone, and especially with games, we never have to be bored again. You know, just pick up your iPhone and there's always something to do. You know, play. I like to play solitaire. So I run through a few games of solitaire or Sudoku or something like that. And those are the kinds of games that I really enjoy. And I like the word games too. Those are really fun. I'm not so much of a role-playing game. And I think some people might view that particular chapter as a bit of a stretch, but it's another way for people to play games, and some people really like it.
I think that nowadays blind kids are literally going to be having these devices in their hands from the time they can begin learning. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
I hope that's true.
It's almost surprising to me in a way that the iPhone has turned out to be an accessible gaming platform. And you guys just went through, like you said, 7 chapters here of all kinds of games. And I must admit, I'm not a gamer myself. So it's really great for me to have read this book because it gave me some incentive to want to try some of these games. Maybe I can even become less bored, huh? But but at any rate, it's such a variety. How did you all decide what parts of gaming to cover in this book?
It turned out to be easier than we thought it was going to be. We only actually had one conference call among all the authors. And it was like, well, what kind of games do you like? And what kind of games do you like? And each person said, well, one person was really into adventure games. And that was great because nobody else was. And so it was actually turned out to be pretty easy. Most of the authors are individuals who had contacted National Braille Press and had said, why don't you guys do a games book? And by the way, I'm an author. I have some experience writing and I'd be happy to help. So there were so many who had said that Diane Croft, who manages these special books project at National Braille Press, she thought, well, why don't we just get everybody together and let me go through the chapters and just give you a flavor of what kind of stuff's in the book, because it's quite varied. The first chapter is about competitive games by Naeem Bravo. She's a young woman who's a proofreader at National Braille Press. And that chapter starts by describing the Game Center. And this is the iOS way to play games with other people competitively. And I have not personally done this, but it's pretty popular, I hear. And the chapter lists a couple of games. There's a crossword puzzle and a trivia game and Dice World. Dice World's very popular. And you can play Dice World with another friend, or you can play it through the Game Center. There are other games in the book that also can be played through the Game Center, and we note that where that's true. So the second chapter is word games, and this is written by Janet Ingber, and Janet's author of a book about how to use the Mac, and she's done a lot of different things, and she wrote a chapter on word games with a lot of word games that those of us who are word game enthusiasts have played before, like Four Down, which is a fabulous crossword puzzle game, and Seven Little Words, and I Associate Two, which apparently Allison plays.
I'm obsessed.
And Moxie, and these are all really, really popular games. The third chapter is card games, and I wrote this one. And a lot of the games in this chapter are by a company called Kid Friendly Software. There's a gentleman named Marty Schultz who's gotten very interested. He was writing games. He started with Blindfold Racer, and he writes the Blindfold series of games. Many of them have nothing on the screen or very little, and they're thought that sighted people might like to play these games as if they were blindfolded. But it also makes them really good for blind people to play. So we have Blindfold Solitaire, which has about 12 different games, and Blindfold Crazy Eights, and Wild Card, which is essentially Uno. I think for copyright reasons, it couldn't be called that. And Blindfold Video Poker, which doesn't mean it's video at all. Apparently, it's just the name of the game. And Blackjack. And then there's a few other mainstream games that are pretty popular. King's Corner is another solitaire kind of game, and Cards Alone. And Cribbage. There's a mainstream cribbage game that's just completely accessible. So for cribbage fans, it's a really fun game. And then we have adventure games. This chapter was written by a woman named Addie Svensson, who's a real gaming enthusiast. And this is Wizard's Choice, A Dark Room, King of Dragon Pass, Papa Sanger. These are really popular for people who like this kind of game. There's this one game called Blindside, where the two people wake up blind and have to figure out how to get around and move and get where they're going, and it's quite funny. And then we have strategy games, which is another chapter that was written by me, and this one has a few more kid-friendly software games, and is Blindfold Sudoku, which is one of my very favorites. And then Blindfold Sudoku Mini, which is just a 4x4. So people who think they might want to try Sudoku but are a bit daunted by the 9x9 Sudoku, this is a great one because you can have numbers or you can have animals or even animal sounds. I love to turn on the animal sounds and play Sudoku with the horse whinnying and the frog doing whatever frogs do. And it's quite fun. And there's a really cool game in this chapter. There is actually a Rubik's Cube, a 2x2 Rubik's Cube that's accessible completely. And you can play the Rubik's Cube on the iPhone. Whoever thought?
Yeah, I was really struck by that one because I always thought about getting one of those Braille Rubik's Cubes that somebody had at some point. Or maybe it was APH or someone had one. I never got around to getting one, but I was really curious to give this game a try and see if it's similar to that kind of process. I can't imagine actually being able to solve a Rubik's Cube on the phone, but I guess you can.
You can. It's really, yeah, I haven't solved it yet, but it's definitely playable. And you have all the information there. It's just a matter of getting it done. And then we also have Naval Combat, which is a cool battleship game with all the noise. You sink the ships and it tells you what's going on. And you can play, this was fun because you can play this with another person in the same room. If your two phones are connected by Bluetooth or on the same wireless network, or you can play it through the game center. And it's really nice. Minesweeper, Accessible Othello, and chess. And then we have the role-playing games, which there's not actually games, but it gives a flavor of what it's like to play role-playing games by email, which is another popular thing to do.
I must admit I was a little surprised about that one. I hadn't really thought about, and again, not being a gamer, I'm sure Allison knows a lot more about this than I do, but I didn't really think about playing a role-playing game through email, but it sounds like that's how you do it, huh?
I hadn't thought about it either, and I learned a lot from that chapter. So I think it's another perspective and something that people might want to do.
I had actually forgot that type of role-playing existed. I had participated, it had to have been about 10 or 15 years ago in a Dungeons & Dragons type campaign over email, and I remember it being really fun. And so that kind of brought it back to me like, oh, maybe I'll see if I can do that again through the wonderful Yahoo groups you mentioned.
And the last chapter is sports games. And this is also by Addie Svensson. This is a real interesting bunch of games. They're either games you literally play by swinging your iPhone around, which makes me a little nervous. But there's one called Sonic Tennis that you literally treat your iPhone like a tennis racket and hit balls and so forth. There's a couple of ping pong games, and then there's Zombies Run, which is meant to be kind of a running game. You can do it with GPS, or you can just run on a treadmill. Audio Archery, and it's really, the archery one's fun. So there's a lot of different stuff in that chapter too. We have 41 games altogether, and it was kind of amazing that we came up with so many that are just such great games and are so accessible.
Yeah, I really thought about playing one of those ping pong or tennis games. Then I thought, wait a minute, I'm not going to put my iPhone 6 Plus at that much risk because I start swinging this thing, I just might lose this thing.
And that worries me too.
Got to play it in a room that has a carpet.
In a rubber room, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
So it can bounce off the wall or whatever has to happen. But yeah. But it is an interesting idea. And I gather, you know, for someone like me who's not a gamer, seems like this book would be really great because what you all essentially do is provide lots of detailed information about how to actually play each of these games. And you literally could sit down with this book and learn to play any of them as far as I could tell from reading through it.
I think you really could. And most of the games have the rules or the instructions. There's kind of two issues here, how to play the game and how to use the app. And we did try to take both of those things into account.
That's really fantastic.
I guess for me, you know, when I think about it, that's been part of the reason that maybe I haven't gotten into games too much is because it seems like, you know, I don't know if it's really true, but it seems like for some of them anyway, there's a lot to learn. You certainly have to use your brain. You have to think about how things are laid out with some of the games. You have to put maybe characters together to create words, things like that. And it, while it seems like fun, at the same time, without a book like this, it seems like it could be a little daunting. So I can see how the book might open this door for some people. At least I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I know for me, it's gotten me back into games like I Associate To, games that I had tried at various points throughout my time of using iOS devices, and then for one reason or another, put aside or forgot about or something like that. And it's really kind of reinvigorated my love for different kinds of gaming on iOS. I have to admit, I was pretty much sticking to like King of Dragon Pass for a while, because I'm another one who's really into the adventure games. But it kind of made me stop and think again, hey, there are actually all kinds of different games on iOS now. So I advise everybody to try a little bit of all of them and to figure out what you like. And if you like a certain game in real life, chances are you're going to like it on the touchscreen. Because these are all, as Judy said, extremely accessible games. And I really applaud you guys for coming up with this exhaustive list, really. I mean, because 41 games you could be playing for the rest of your life, you know, and never get bored, like you said. And then there's just more that are gonna come out, because a lot of these games are games, like especially the blindfold ones, these just kind of came into prominence, I would say, certainly less than a year ago. So it's just amazing the vista that the iDevices has opened up for us in terms of just literally every day it could be a new adventure in terms of a new game or app that can come out to kind of change our world. And that's what I love about the iDevices.
And Marty has more games even since I did this book. There's Blindfold War, there's Blindfold Pong, another one of these swing your iPhone games. And there's a couple of kids games. These are really, really nice.
Nice. I'll have to get War. I remember I devised a means, like you said, when we were little, sometimes we would get bored. I actually devised a means of playing War with myself, where I'd have one pile of cards on my left and one on my right, and I would just turn them over. So it'll be kind of cool to play it on the iPhone, kind of full circle.
Yeah, and I played Crazy Eights as a kid and Blackjack, things like that, and have done that on some of these games that you mentioned in the book. And they are really easy to figure out and understand, even though most of them use some non-standard voiceover gestures. It's pretty easy to figure out what the gestures are. Most of them come with pretty good instructions, even within the game itself. So I don't think anyone should be too afraid to download some of these and give them a try.
And we talk about that in the book, because there are a number of places. Some of these games actually want you to turn voiceover off. And other games, like the Blindfold series, do use non-standard gestures. But there's good documentation in the game. And once you start playing, you realize the gestures really do make sense.
Yeah, they're pretty uniform across the games as well, which is kind of nice.
That's true.
I think that maybe it would be helpful, Judy, if you don't mind reminding people where this book is available, how they might get a hold of it.
National Braille Press is selling this book for $12, and they have it available in hard copy Braille, BRF file format, electronic Braille. They have Daisy Text and EPUB.
One thing that's always a little hard for me to figure out is which format to order. And I guess part of it depends on whether you want the hard copy Braille. That's obvious. But if you want one of the electronic formats, to me it probably depends on what kind of device you're going to read it on. Do you have any thoughts or advice about that?
EPUB is good if you want to read it with something like VoiceStream Reader. It does a really nice job with EPUB. The Daisy one, I think, probably would be better on something like a Stream or one of those kinds of devices.
Do you know whether the Daisy is audio Daisy or whether it's text or maybe both?
It says Daisy Text.
Okay. So you could also probably read the Daisy Text on a lot of the Braille devices as
well. Braille notes and things like that. Yeah, sure. That should work well.
So where do they go to get this book from the National Braille Press?
www.nbp.org or 617-266-6160.
I think this is a must-have for anybody's library. I really do.
Yeah, because it really is just a great example of how the iPhone, iDevices have made their way into all aspects of our lives. And like you all were saying earlier, you know, everybody has a few minutes from time to time to kill, and some games really are a pretty neat way to do that, I think.
Judy, thank you again for coming on the podcast. Is there anything else as we're wrapping up here that we haven't covered that you would like to mention?
No, I think we've done a pretty good job talking about the games book. I think that should be a lot of fun.
I think so, too. And remember, guys, Judy has two other books, Get the Picture, and I cannot remember the title of the traveling book. That's really embarrassing.
Out and About.
Right. So y'all should definitely check out her other books as well. And if you guys would like to get a hold of us, please feel free to do so by sending an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. Again, that's techdoctor@dr-carter.com.
We will be back soon. We have some exciting things coming up here. We're going to be taking a trip to Chicago next weekend for MacStock. So I'm just betting the next time you hear from us, we'll be talking all about that.
We will have so much to talk about. We're really looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
But until then, thank you, Judy, for being here. And this is Robert the Tech Doctor saying so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley saying bye, everyone.